It Should Have Been Me, written by Susan Wilkins and read by Lucy Brownhill and Colin Mace. Detective Constable Joe Bowden was crouched in the corner of the surveillance vehicle. Her knees were stiff, her whole body numb with cold. It had been a long night. Sitting in the dark, watching, waiting. This was her least favourite part of the job. Around midnight, a blanket of freezing fog had descended on the city. Peering out, little was visible beyond the sulphurous haze of the street lamps. They were scheduled to go in at 5 a.m, but the chatter on the comms suggested some kind of hiccup. She'd been partnered with the new bloke, Daryl. He was cocksure, and she didn't rate him. But Bowden kept her opinions to herself. It wasn't easy. He was pressing all her buttons. She could see that beneath the bravado he was nervous. His first big op on the squad. But when he spoke to her, his gaze tended to stray to her tits, which was just annoying. They were in an alley in Catford, tucked around the corner from the target premises. Joe would join the grandly titled Human Exploitation and Organised Crime Command, part of the Met Specialist Crime Directorate, the previous spring. She'd spent most of the summer in fuggy vans in London's piss-stinking back alleys. Parked up between the bins, the rusting white goods and rotting mattresses, in a miasma of dog shit and flies, she was learning that surveillance was a game of patience. And Joe Bowden was not patient. She'd taken and passed her sergeant's exams at the earliest opportunity, but promotion was dependent on vacancies arising. The logjam in the lower rank showed no signs of easing. Cuts made it worse. So she was stuck. Occasionally it was exciting, but a lot of the time she was bored. The current operation was against Albanian human traffickers, who ran a lucrative sideline in underage prostitutes, both male and female. The kids were between 12 and 14 and had been picked up in the migrant camps of Calais and lured with the promise of safe passage to the UK. They were then separated from any siblings or friends and kept under lock and key in a number of residential properties across London. However, the place they were hitting this morning was more than a brothel. It was the ramshackle headquarters of this particular clan. The Kelmendi family had bought the yard and warehouse from a South London removals firm who'd gone bust in the recession of 2008. The signage of the old company, paint peeling, still hung above the roll-up garage doors. The yard, overgrown with weeds and drifts of rubbish, had a semi-derelict air. But a tip-off from an informant on the inside had prompted 2 weeks of visual surveillance and revealed plenty of activity. Faisie Kelmendi, the nominal head of the family, and already subject to a European arrest warrant, was thought to be hiding out in North Cyprus. But for the rest of the gang, it seemed to be business as usual. Jo stretched her long legs out in front of her and clicked her phone on to check the time. For a few seconds, Daryl was illuminated in its eerie beam. He had a good physique, lean and muscular, which was always top of her list. If she met him in a bar, she might be tempted. But sex with colleagues was taboo in her book. It always led to trouble and complications.